That's what we believe here at Bethel, that the gospel is the foundation of our faith. And the Apostle Paul, as we unfold his heart and the heart of the gospel in Romans chapter 1, declares the gospel of Jesus Christ to be the righteousness of God. And he says, the just shall live by faith. Paul was separated to that gospel. He was called in a miraculous way. His eyes were suddenly opened and then blinded and then opened again to serve God. And he separated himself because of the love of God. And he served in that gospel. But here in the letter to the Roman church, he said, I am not ashamed of this gospel. I think sadly today many people are ashamed of the gospel because it doesn't fit into our world system anymore. It makes some people feel uncomfortable, even some Christians. It's challenging in the world that we live in to say anything that seems to contradict the flow of thinking and activity and lifestyles that are counter to the flow of the love of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm not ashamed of that gospel. In fact, he was willing to go all the way to Rome. And he just decided that by the Spirit of God, he would write a letter first. It's always a good thing to send people notice that I'm coming. In fact, as he ended this letter, he said, I'm planning to go to Spain one day. And on the way there, I think I'll drop by and visit you. But until that day, I'm going to write you this letter. And he poured out his heart by the Spirit of God. And he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. He said, not just for the Romans, but for everyone, for the Jew first and also Gentiles. For he says, in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And the apostle pours out his heart, and the Spirit of God has given us a document, a letter that is the permanent part of the Word of God, and it is the clearest unfolding of the truth of the gospel that we have in our New Testament. Why study Romans? Well, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. It's foundational. Secondly, we need to believe what we know, and then we need to act on what we believe. And remember that the gospel being the power of God unto salvation is the Word of God. And it is more powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And it is able to pierce the darkness, pierce into the hardest of hearts, and take a man like the Apostle Paul, who was on his way to murdering Christians, to turn around and be the greatest defender and supporter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the doctrine of condemnation. And these first three chapters are full of some bad news. There's no solid foundation for mankind without the gospel. And this is the first three chapters of Romans. Romans 1, 2, and 3. And it can be summed up like this. The wrath of God is against man's sin, against all, including the Jews and Gentiles. And even those religious people, as we look next week into chapter 2, that even religious people are not saved by their works. In fact, many of them were hypocrites in their faith. Why do men need the gospel today? Because all have sinned. Humanity has fallen. Romans unfolds that truth, and we see that God's righteousness is good news and life-changing news. Man can become right with God again. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the way that that happens, and it's based on Jesus Christ, his coming into the world to save sinners like you and me. He died for our sins. He was buried and rose again. That's the nutshell of the gospel. His death, his burial, and his victorious resurrection. After he had completed the work of salvation and paid for the penalty of our sins, he was buried and rose again, a victor. And all who receive him by faith alone will have eternal life. The gospel is truly good news. Sinners can be justified, forgiven, and given a new life from a holy God. And Jesus is the only way to God. All roads do not lead to heaven. Only Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. The problem is, Sin is bad news. I was amazed, you know, we have the sign up on the by the driveway. Everybody's driving by and thinking, what kind of a church is going to talk about bad news? I mean, that's not what churches do, is it? Well, that's what we should be doing, is declaring that there is both bad news followed by good news. And sin is the problem. It is the focus of why we have bad news. Romans 1, 18 to 32 was written to the church at Rome and to Christians, and for them personally and practically. God's righteousness declared through this letter is like the Magna Carta of our Bible and reveals to us the heart of a loving God and a holy God. If you had an appointment tomorrow, whether it would be something for your health or to keep you out of jail, you would be entering that waiting room with a little bit of anxiety. Because when you walked through that door, you would not be sure whether it was going to be good news from your lawyer or your healthcare provider, or it was going to be the worst case scenario, bad news. So we have a little anxiety when it comes to thinking about that. So what would you rather have in your life? Do you want to hear the good news first or the bad news? Most people, yeah, they want to hear the bad. Let's get the bad news out of the way, and then we can focus on the good news. Well, that's what Paul does. He's going to deliver the bad news first. In fact, it's a courtroom setting. Harvard Law School, for many years, used this particular process of Paul's argument about the unrighteousness and ungodliness and the wrath of God to teach lawyers that this was a legal argument. He provides solid evidence, and the outcome is a solid verdict. All have sinned. That's what this passage is about. It's the evidence that we need to understand the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the thought process that God had in presenting his son as the only savior. And through the gospel, that's exactly what he did. What's the evidence? Where's the proof? Well, as one man wrote, it's evidence that demands a verdict. In a courtroom, you hear these words, all rise. Please rise with me as we read the word of God together. It's solemn. Please rise. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting or suitable, being filled with... And he now lists over 24 added bits of the indictment. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters. violent, proud, and boasters. Inventors of evil things, things you couldn't possibly make up, but they do. Disobedient to parents, and then the uns, undeserving, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. And then the final nail. Not only do the same, but approve of those who practice them. One more verse, chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge, practice the same things. Please be seated. This is the long indictment of the wrath of God against sin. The wrath of God against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men. Rome was full of immorality. Go back almost 2,000 years, and you see a culture that was steeped in idolatry, social injustice, wickedness of every kind. 3/4 of the empire were slaves. People were property. They were used for whatever the mood of the day was, in any way that was chosen, to make money, to have any kind of sex, to have power. Life was treated with absolute ruthlessness. Unwanted babies were thrown in the gutter. The world was in chaos. The days of the week in Rome were named after what they saw in the sky. They worshiped the sun, and we have Sunday. They worshiped the moon, and we have Monday, and so on with the planets that we have. To this day, every day of the week, we are reminded of the Roman world by the calendar that we observe. The rise and fall of the empire was linked by this fact, that their lifestyle choices, their idolatry, their immorality led to their moral decay and the destruction of the empire that fell within. It crumbled. Are we on the same crash course in Canada today? The Pantheon was a temple to all the gods. You can go to Rome today and you can see that building. It's been under restoration. I don't know if it's finished being restored. But it was a place where you could worship all the gods you wanted. There were too many. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. The charge and the reason for it is this: it is against those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The truth of God from His Word. People want to get rid of the Bible. They want to get rid of true religion, true faith, and they've replaced it with things like communism and atheism and scientism and all of the isms that go along with whatever man chooses, anything except God and His Word. Anything except Jesus and His love for us. The wrath of God. People want to suppress the truth. They want to suppress the truth in unrighteousness in order to justify ungodliness and unrighteous living. God is righteous. His character, His actions are honest and fair and true. And it is revealed in the gospel. It demands that sins be punished, and the penalty is death. His love provided what His righteousness demanded. Ungodly, unrighteous sinners can be made right with God by faith alone in Jesus Christ and by turning and repenting away from sin, not of any effort of our own. Jesus paid it all. He took our place. God is satisfied. Jesus said, "It's finished." God saves those who come to Him, and His righteousness is revealed. In these words, the just shall live by faith. God is just, as we were reminded earlier today, and He's the justifier of those that believe in Jesus. We need the gospel. We're lost without the gospel. It's bad news. All have sinned. All have sinned. People deny that God has revealed the truth. They deny that the Bible is true. It's been under ridicule and scorn and attack for thousands of years as it was revealed to us. People want to hide from the truth. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it talks about people wanting to hide for sure when the judgment of God falls on this earth. People hide behind lies and idolatry and immoral actions because they want to suppress the truth. The world is in denial. They want to turn sinful actions into acceptable truth. So when you look at the media today, what a nice thing that is. Isn't that amazing? You just do this. Watch. Sin Central. There it is. You can touch it, and you can see it, and it can change your thinking, both for good and for bad. The media has not been on the side of the Bible or truth for centuries, but in our lifetime. When the first people started doing things on TV that they weren't supposed to do. They used to have religious people, ministers, who would observe, well, you can't have the bedroom, you know, with two people in the bed on TV. That would be inappropriate. So when you watched I Love Lucy, they slept in separate beds. You wonder how little Ricky came along, but it happened, all right? That's and I'm saying that in with it, not to be funny, but that's the truth. That's what the media was like. They were presenting a world that looked like we lived under the fear of God. And it kept changing slowly. The music started to change. What people laughed at started to change. What people were doing started to change. And then people were free to make choices and get out and live the dream. And music told people they could live the way they wanted. Don't believe that you need to follow the Bible. Let's listen to the tunes of the day. On Christmas Eve. No, it was New Year's. On New Year's Eve, listening to the top 100 countdown. Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. You know, all those old songs. And then when I got older and started looking back at those words, I'm thinking, why did we sing some of these songs? They're full of filth and sex and evil. And this is worse yet. Calling evil good. And good evil. This is the world we live in. This is what the young people are going to be learning in school today. That you can live the way you want. There's no accountability. There's no fear of God. They're suppressing the truth. The truth that there is a God. The truth that there is an accountability to that God. Suppressing the truth. Evidence number one. Look in and look up. The creation and God's eternal power. You know, we are challenged today because there's an attack on God as the creator. Last week, I marveled at a picture that came through the pipeline. It was a research project on the Milky Way, our little neighborhood in the universe. And they were able to, with high-resolution infrared technology, count the number of celestial bodies in the Milky Way. Now, apparently, years ago, you could look up and see a few thousand stars on a good night. Maybe 4,000 is what I had read at one point. Well, they counted this number of celestial bodies. They could actually count them. 3.2-something billion celestial bodies in our Milky Way that they could see. And probably many more that were obscured to them. Man has the ability to do that. And you ask yourself, where did all this stuff come from? And the answer is, it came out of nothing. That's what science wants us to believe. Science wants us to believe that. They are believing a lie, and the scripture says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We have been made in his image. And the war is evolution or creation. And the winner is, well, you get to decide. That's what it is to have faith in something. Everybody has faith. Faith in science. So I was reading a long time ago, God and Stephen Hawking by Dr. John Lennox. And I just want to read a short quote. Our universe and its laws appear to have a design that both is tailor-made to support us and, if we are to exist, leaves little room for alteration. Earth can't be too far from where it is right now, or we don't have a home. That is not easily explained and raises the natural question of why is it that way? The discovery relatively recent of the extreme fine-tuning of the many laws of nature could lead at least some of us back to the old idea that this grand design is the work of some grand designer. What do you think? Nothing or God? Scientism is quite imaginative. In fact, in the same chapter, he brings out the multiverse argument that scientists know that the odds of anything happening spontaneously to create the universe we live in is basically zero. So the only logical explanation is to believe in something that's called fiction. That's what scientism is. And there are millions and billions and trillions of other universes out there, multiverses, and one of them got it right, and we happen to be in that one. Yeah. Well, that's the fantasy world that science lives in sometimes, and that's not what science is all about. It's based on fact. It can be tested. It can be proven. God's word is the same way. We can test it, and we can measure it against what's in our hearts. God has revealed himself to mankind through his creation. DNA and getting into the subatomic world. I listened to a scientist on CBC talk about this, the magnificent world of the subatomic world with neutrons and protons and electrons and boson particles and on and on and on. It goes all of this amazing physics research that goes on. No matter how small you go, how far you look, there's a design. There's a design. And men want to suppress that truth. They want to suppress the truth that God is the creator. And the reason they want to suppress that truth is because as soon as you acknowledge that there is a true God, then we become accountable to him as his creation. God's wrath is poured out. It's not unjust, it's just. And human beings have responded to God by rejecting his self-revelation in the creation. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, all the geniuses that are out there, professing to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. The permissive quality of God's wrath is shocking and frightening, you know, because mankind has become nothing but a band of fools for rejecting the light that God has given us in creation. God wants all men and women to repent. And there's the law that God has put in, is the law of sin and death. And that's where ultimately the bad news gets to be the worst news of all. You say it can't get any worse. It gets worse. Because what happens after death is separation from God and from everyone you've ever known. The Bible calls it the blackness of darkness forever. Nothing could be worse than being in eternity by yourself in torment. I couldn't imagine. People go crazy in solitary confinement for a month. What would happen in eternity without God? It's suffering. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow, and sadly, you reap later than you sow. The law of the harvest. And if my relation to God is perverted, my relation to God's creation and his order is also wrong. I misunderstand and misapply the truth of God. Idols are planets, trees, stones, animals, money, power, pleasure, entertainment, and even the guy looking back at you in the mirror. We worship because that's the nature that God has put into our being. We worship something. And if we don't worship the true God, we'll worship anything. You know that in ancient Egypt, they had beetles that were called dung beetles. And you won't believe it, but they worshiped them. It doesn't get any more pathetic than that. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Nor were thankful. Futile in their thoughts, their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of God for the glory of man and the creation. There are three more charges. So they did not glorify him as God, number one. Number two, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the glory of the creation. And thirdly, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Because they were unclean, God gave them up to their passions and desires. And I highlight this at the bottom here. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is about to be murdered. They were going to stone him. And he had a great opportunity to witness for God. And he said to them, "You made a calf in those days. Moses was on the mountain getting the law, and you were down there at the bottom making a golden calf. You offered sacrifices to that idol. You rejoiced in the works of your own hands. And God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the prophets, you took the tabernacle of Molech, and you made images to worship them." And the sacrifice of Molech was simply this. It was children being sacrificed to this demonic idol. How far will man go in his depravity? Well, and sadly, you haven't seen anything yet. It's going to get worse instead of better. God gave them their sinful desires, their idols. The honor of the human body was exchanged to dishonor the body and the Creator. Natural for unnatural sexual relations. God's knowledge for idolatrous desires was the exchange. Perverted moral knowledge to immoral passions and actions. God gave them up. Now, I want to make a distinction here. God didn't give up on them. He gave them up to their passions. They're reaping what they are living. They're reaping what they are living. God's wrath produces judgment. Left to our own choices, it leads us to immorality and injustice and evil and things that God detests. Those that are under the wrath of God experience the effect of their immorality, and it causes suffering. People who live the dream and live the way they want, you don't think those people are not suffering. They're suffering the consequences of their choices. You know, in days past, in times past, God gave Adam and Eve a choice. They chose badly. And the result was they were banished from the garden, and death and sin came into the world. And the first two boys that were born, one murdered the other. The consequence of bad choices. A global flood wiped out all. After 100 years of preaching and allowing people to make the choice, only 8 were saved. Fire and brimstone came down against the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Only a few escaped. Corrupt civilizations were wiped out as the nation of Israel took the land. The nation of Israel nearly got wiped out. They were sent into bondage, taken away into captivity. God was letting people reap what they had sown. But he didn't give up. And then one day God sent his son after 400 years of silence. And he gave people the choice. Jesus said, "Come unto me." Some did, and some rejected him. His judgment on sin was poured out on what the Lord Jesus endured on the cross for us. So for this reason, the wrath of God, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. This is what we call lesbianism today. It is wrong. It is not God's design that women should be with women this way. And likewise, the men leaving the natural use of the woman. You see, God designed women in a particular way. In fact, if you notice, their bodies are different than men's. I'm not sure some of you have noticed that, but I've noticed it quite young in my life that they were quite different than I was. And there was a reason for the design difference. God made it so that women could, if they were given that opportunity, become mothers. Not every woman becomes a mother, not physically. Everyone can become a mother spiritually. But God made it clear. That's the way he made us, to produce life. And that can only be possible when a male and female have sex together and have children. Science has found some other ways to actually make that happen too. But it's still the same concept. There has to be a seed, and it has to grow. And that can only happen between a man and a woman, what God has equipped us to do. It's a wonderful thing to see new life come in the world. When we had the little babies out this morning, and we see the little children here in Sunday school, we say, what a gift, new life. But they exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. There are consequences to living a wrong lifestyle. And I've listened to several messages, and sometimes, you know, you hear that, the consequence is this disease and this problem, and there's truth to that. It's the penalty of their error. In other words, again, reaping the consequences of a life that is contrary to the way God designed us to live. And it's hurtful. But there is one thing that you can be sure of, and it's this. Truth is truth, even if no one believes it. And a lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. And that's what is happening today. People are believing the lie that we can do whatever we, as the old saying used to be, jolly well please. And we can't. God gave them up to their passions, suppressing the truth, telling people you're okay to live the way you are living. It's all right. Don't listen to those religious people. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to what the Bible says. That's outdated. You're okay to live the way that you want. That's the lie. But deep down, God has given us a secret weapon. I love it, you know, the intrigue. It's called the conscience. Eats away. Oh, sometimes I don't like it when I go to bed at night and I start thinking, ooh, because God starts to speak to your heart. He brings back to your memory maybe even the word of God that you heard or things that you have done, and it makes you feel unclean. It's either the conscience, or we'll look at that again in more detail, I think, next week. Some people's consciences are seared, hardened. But as the Lord told us in the parable of the soils, the word of God can break the cement of the heart. Put a crack in there, plant the seed, and new life can begin. As long as there's life, there's hope. God has given us hope. And even as they, verse 28, did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness. Humanity was designed as male and female. That's the pattern. The design indicates that there's a designer, that there's a purpose in the design. We have a purpose to glorify God. That's our purpose. And to enjoy Him. What a blessing that is. We're given a free will. We can choose the way that we go, God's way or our own way. The world does not have the answer to our deepest need. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. The Roman Empire was wicked. If you go to Europe, you will see the ruins of the Roman Empire. And people focus on those ruins because it was a great empire and what they could accomplish. But it was such an evil empire in what they did and how they lived and how they treated people and how they rejected the Creator that was evident to them. Missionaries have said that they've gone to different parts of the world where there was no gospel outreach, and they found people who were willing and receptive to believe the gospel because the gospel presented a Creator God who loved them, and they knew that there was a Creator by looking at the stars and the moon and the sun and the works of God's hand in their daily lives. And they responded to that because they could identify, because God has a place in people's hearts. We are lost without that place, and mankind is looking for that redemption, where we can be reunited to our Creator, and He has shown us the way through Jesus Christ. However, sadly, the world, and we read this in Romans 1:29, filled with all unrighteousness. Now, we looked at sexual immorality with homosexuality and lesbianism, and call it a spade. It's wrong, it's immoral, it's ungodly. God never meant for us to live that way. But that's not the whole indictment, because the indictment continues with all unrighteousness, and he lists for us these other choices that people make. It's a choice to be sexually immoral, all forms of sexual immorality. The word fornication is not used today. We just call that doing your own thing. Adultery. Just don't get caught. You'll end up in a lawyer's office. And all other forms of illicit sex. The Greek word is porneia, all kinds of sexual immorality. Wickedness is active evil. We see that in the world today. It is wicked and evil what's going on in the war in Ukraine. Killing innocent children and civilians who have nothing to do with the war. This is wickedness. It's evil that is active. Covetousness, greed, and incessant and endless desire for more. I was reading Bill McDonald's commentary, and some of these thoughts come right from his book. It's an incessant and endless desire for more. How much is enough? For some people, there's never enough. This endless thirst for more. Maliciousness is the desire to harm other people. It's venomous hatred. People are full of envy. I want what you have, and I don't want you to have it. And I want more, and I want more because I'm jealous of what you have. Murder. Oh, murder. Every day. We read about it, even in our community, and we read about it in our province and in our country and in this world. Horrible. Taking another's life. Premeditated, unlawful killing. Strife. Quarreling. Being contentious. Deceit. Trickery. Treachery. Evil-mindedness. Ill will. Spite. Hostility. Does this sound like anybody you know? They are whisperers, secret slanderers, gossips. And sad to even write this on a screen here at Bethel. Haters of God. This was the Roman world. This is our world today. If that's the kind of God you believe in, then I don't want to have anything to do with him. He's a terrible God. Violent. Proud and boasters. People that are violent, uncontrolled temper, proud. Oh, that word is such a word today that has been taken out of context and meant to mean things that are unrighteous. And this one, I think, fits in with what he says at the end of verse 32, boasters, who boast about their sin. Braggarts, they parade themselves. Look at me. Look at me. I can do what I want. The government says it's okay. It must be okay. But God doesn't say it's okay. And it gets worse. Inventors of evil things. Things that you just don't make that kind of stuff up. They're doing it. Mischief, wickedness, disobedient to parents. Starts at an early age. Parents, get your house under control. Get your children under control. Teach them to obey authority. Teach them why they should obey authority. It's for their own good. Scripture tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then the onion group here, the undeserving, the untrustworthy, the unloving, the unforgiving. You know, onions can make me cry. When I cut them, some of those onions, ooh, you want to put that in your sauce? Oh, I tell you, it's painful. Lacking moral discernment, breaking promises, disregarding natural ties and obligations, unloving. What a generation we live in. Unloving. Unforgiving. How often should I forgive my brother? 7 times 70? Always be willing to forgive. Don't hold grudges. It makes you weak and sick and sad and suffering. And people that are unmerciful. Cruel, vindictive, and without pity. That was from McDonald. What a mess. So if you sat back and you came from another planet and you said, let's have a look at planet Earth. How do these folks look? Terrible. They're sick. The world is sick with sin. Whatever the sin is, it's rebellion against the holy God. And then he says this to sum it up. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Who would have thought that if you're a whisperer, you could be deserving of death? Because it reveals the rottenness of the heart. Those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, this is the saddest part, but also approve of those who practice them. They're cheerleaders. Yes. Yes, let's keep doing this. My father and I used to say, raise the flag for Jesus. That's what we should be doing. That's the gospel. Raise the flag. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People that live this kind of a life are people that we know, people that we love, our neighbors, our family. They need the gospel. And yet we see this opposition, not only doing the same, but approving of those who practice them. There's one thing to have the problem between your ears. There are many people that have wrong sexual desires between their ears. It's another thing to put them into practice. But one leads to the other. They need to be nailed to the cross. It's the only way to get rid of those thoughts. People that know and practice and who suppress the truth, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, and God's judgment is righteous, even though they join hand in hand with others to promote them and find comfort with their partners in sin. I want to close with this thought. Why do people remain in a sinful lifestyle? Marilyn and I have been reading through some of the Psalms, and this stood out as we read it the other day. They think they're going to be okay in the end, Psalm chapter 10. Number one, wrong thinking follows. God won't hold me accountable. He doesn't care. If there's a God, he's impersonal. He doesn't care. He says to himself, God overlooks it. He doesn't pay attention. He never notices. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's just, you know, this religion stuff. Don't worry about it. And then why do people reject or renounce God? They think that I will not have to give an account of my life. I'm going to get away with it. I can do whatever I want. But then the psalm ends with these words, the Lord is King. We're all going to bow to the King one day, and his name is Jesus. That's what's going to happen. Job said these words, I know it is so, but how can a man be righteous before God? The answer is, it's through Jesus Christ. We're naturally unrighteous, ungodly. The message of Romans is bad news and good news. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. I want us to think one more thought before we leave this passage this morning. A lot of people have excuses for staying out of heaven. Everybody else is doing it. I can't be wrong. The times have changed. Doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. You know, there's always excuses that people come up with. But our attitude should be like the Lord Jesus. He loves sinners. He spent time with them, tax collectors, immoral women, and immoral men. In fact, he found a woman caught in the act of adultery in this conversation that he had. And he said to her, where are your accusers? And she said, they've gone. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Neither do I condemn you, woman. He said, go and sin no more. And the only way you can do that is through Jesus Christ. So we'll close with that thought. And we have to be compassionate and loving to people. And as Jude ends his letter, he says, I want you to think about these people this way. They're in a burning building. They're on the railroad tracks. The train is coming. They think that if they stay there long enough, the train will stop coming. But it's coming. They don't know to get off the track. And the only way to do that is to get off the track to avoid the collision that's coming. There's a collision coming for everyone in this world. The unavoidable appointment, it's called death. And after death comes the judgment. That's the bad news. And the only way to escape this great salvation is to trust our Lord Jesus Christ. Nick, could you come up with the team? And then could you close in prayer, please? As we think of this subject, and it is bad news, I'm hopeful next week on the sign it'll say good news. But it's coming, okay? We just have to be patient. And we're going to get to it. But God bless you for being here, and love people with the love of God, and he'll open doors for you to touch their hearts. Nick?